Well, after hearing that choir sing, thinking maybe I should sit down and we could hear some more of the choir singing. That was just glorious. Praise God. I guess that's not the option we have. Well, grace to you this Easter morning. And I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. So we will remember and celebrate our Lord's resurrection from the dead and all that belongs with that. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the greatest event in the history of the world. Over the next few minutes, we're going to explore some of the profound consequences of our Lord's resurrection, extending even to our lives today. So let's pray. Look to the Father and the Son as we enter into this time of remembrance. Dear Father in heaven, all praise, all honor, all glory to you on this day. We worship you, and we worship your Son Jesus, risen from the dead. Christ Jesus, our Lord, because you live, we also live. Hallelujah. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you. We ask you to strengthen our faith and our love for you, even in this next few moments. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. After his resurrection, Jesus appears to various individuals and groups among his followers, a total of 13 different appearances on separate occasions. And in today's scripture reading, we will hear about three of these appearances. Let me read now from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. I will read the first two verses and then skip down to verse 11 and read 11 through 29. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." At that point, Peter and John run to the tomb. They find it empty, and then they return home. And then picking up in verse 11 of chapter 20 of John, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb." She returns to the tomb. She stands weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stopped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is God's word. Yes. So in that reading, we heard about three of the total 13 appearances of Jesus to his followers. Jesus meets one-on-one with Mary Magdalene outside the tomb. He appears to the disciples in a room, entering through a locked door, with Thomas not present. And then he appears to his disciples again, this time with Thomas present. And to Thomas, he gives some special attention. He appears quietly. There are no bright lights, no spectacle, but the universe has changed. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. People are coming alive. And 2,000 years later, it's still happening. God gives us a resurrection thirst, a longing for newness in our lives. Resurrection. In Christ, we come alive. We are given entrance to a new life. Sometimes we think, if only I could take back the last 3 years or the last 30 and start over again. Or if only I could break free from this habit or that sin. Or, oh, for a fresh start. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I can do it. I can give you a fresh start, a new life." Skeptics say, "That's too good to be true." Jesus answers, "I was dead, but behold, I am alive." When Christ died, in him we also died to our old self. Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new." That includes you and me. For all who are in Christ, his resurrection confirms this. Payment for your sin has been accepted. Your debt has been canceled. A new life. It's ours in Jesus. Ours to walk in, ours to live in. Resurrection power can enter into you and into me today, even now. But walking in newness of life is not like a lightning bolt, a sudden burst. It's more like a sunrise in our lives, a path that gets brighter and brighter until the full day. We're going to consider now four resurrection gifts that we see in this morning's reading in John chapter 20. These four gifts are faith, peace, intimacy, and purpose. These gifts are ours. They are yours in Christ Jesus. So the first gift, resurrection faith. Through faith, we enter a path of new life. And by faith, we continue on that path. Faith is a gift. All of us were once dead in our trespasses and sins. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." In Ephesians 2, verse 8, "By grace, you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Jesus imparts faith to us. He gives it as a gift. He gives it to Mary, to the disciples, to Thomas the doubter, and he gives it to us. Consider Mary. We might call her Doubting Mary. She is a disturbed, dysfunctional person when she first encounters Jesus, possessed by seven demons. But Jesus heals her. She's a new person. She follows Jesus. She hears his teachings. She sees the miracles. She knows his promise. "After 3 days, I will arise." Given that background, we might expect Mary to have faith. She comes to the tomb. She finds the stone rolled away and the tomb empty. She does not say, "It's true. It happened. Just as he said it would. I should never have doubted." Instead, she runs to the disciples and tells them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." Mary is looking for a dead Jesus. Then back at the tomb, with one word, Jesus calls this woman to faith. Mary. She turns, she looks, and her eyes are opened. Her heart is opened. "Rabboni, teacher," she says. Mary believes. Faith at last. In that moment, Jesus fills Mary's gaze. Her eyes are not on herself, not on her surroundings. She has eyes of faith now, eyes fixed on Jesus. It's like viewing a majestic mountain or a waterfall or a sunset. Your eyes are fixed on majesty outside of yourself. How do we get this gift of faith? We look at Jesus. We listen to Jesus, like Mary. When first coming to Christ, you must look to him and you must listen to him. And as you look, God opens your eyes, your spiritual eyes, and he awakens your heart. See how this happens with the disciples. Jesus appears among them. At first they doubt. We see that in Luke's gospel account. But then Jesus shows them his wounds, and the wounds tell the story. Christ died for sins, their sins, our sins as well, placed on Jesus and carried to the cross and judged there and paid for. They believe. We must do the same. Look at Jesus, consider his wounds, and believe. Don't look at yourself, not at your merits. Are they enough? Not your faith. Is it big enough? Not your failures. Are they too big? We walk in this new life the same way we enter. We keep looking at Jesus. We turn our gaze away from ourselves. We stop saying, "I'm not worthy. My faith is so weak." It's true. You're unworthy. All of us are unworthy. Faith means we go to the worthy one who died in our place. In faith, we look at him. We listen to him. This faith is a gift, a door to walk through. That's the gift of faith. The second gift is resurrection peace. Jesus appears to the disciples two times in chapter 20 of John. He greets them, "Peace to you. Peace be with you." This is not just a polite greeting. His greeting of peace has substance and depth and power. It's an acting out of the gospel. Jesus comes to these guilty sinners, doubters, deserters, deniers. He does not blast them. He blesses them. That's not at all what they deserve. Peace, shalom, means total wellness, deep flourishing, peace with God, peace with one another, peace within. This peace is a summons out of the storm of worry and anger, turmoil, fear, including the deepest fear of all, the final fear, our fear of death. At its deepest level, the Lord's word for peace is about His victory over death. We think the worst thing that can happen to us is death, but in Christ, death is no longer the worst thing. It's not. Death becomes a dark doorway opening into light. For believers, death is an exit from this world, an entrance into His eternal presence. Jesus, alive from the dead, speaks peace to His people. He says to you who are in Christ, peace be with you. Believe and receive His peace. A third gift, resurrection intimacy, close friendship. The first person to see the risen Jesus is Mary, as we saw, though she is slow to recognize Him. Consider again how He reveals Himself. He says her name, Mary. What He's saying is, Mary, wake up. Mary, it's me. Mary, don't fear. Mary, I love you. Resurrection is a door to new intimacy. We can know the risen Lord, not just know about Him. We can talk with Him, listen to Him, sense His presence, draw on His strength. Similarly with the disciples, Jesus tells Mary, go to my brothers. Jesus calls His disciples brothers. He could have said, go find those miserable deserters. I want to see them now. Brothers speaks of a new closeness. We see it each time Jesus appears to them after His resurrection. There's a special focus on Thomas, as we saw. Thomas the doubter, who refused to believe the others' report. Jesus seeks him out. Is it to give him a scolding? Not really. He summons the doubter to faith. They were all doubters. They had to see before they would believe. But Jesus gives special care and attention to Thomas. He reopens the relationship at a deeper level than ever before. His resurrection opens the door to intimacy with the lover of your soul. Have you walked through that door? The door to intimacy with our risen Lord? The fourth and final gift that we'll consider is resurrection purpose. Jesus gives new purpose to His disciples. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. John chapter 20, verse 21. This anticipates His promise in Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power. You shall be my witnesses. Without the resurrection, there is no good news to share. Because of the resurrection, spiritually dead people are raised to life. How does it happen? Through the agency of witnesses. He sends us, He sends you, beginning with the people in your own life who need Jesus. In rising from the dead, Jesus gives the gift of purpose. Even so, I am sending you. In closing, receive these resurrection gifts. We can receive them freshly and again, and we need to. Receive the gift of faith, the gift of peace, the gift of intimacy, the gift of purpose. Practice these four gifts. Walk in faith. Hear Jesus, speak your name. Listen to Him, look at Him, consider His wounds. And be not unbelieving, but believing. Secondly, receive His peace. Peace through forgiveness for your sins. His peace for every storm in your life. Thirdly, embrace His intimacy. Talk with Him, that's prayer. Sense His presence. Gladly obey Him. Pour out your heart to Him. Listen to His voice, especially through His word, the Bible. Fourth, run with His purpose. We are His sent ones, joined with Him and with one another as His witnesses. God speaks, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." That's in Ephesians 5. Are you expecting change in your life? 2,000 years ago, our Lord was crucified for us. He was buried, and He was raised up from the dead. That changes everything. Christ our Lord is risen today. Let us walk in newness of life. Yes, Lord, all praise and honor to You, our risen Lord. Thank You for new things, resurrection gifts, ours in Christ Jesus, our Savior. May this be a day for remembering and celebrating Your resurrection, as well as ours with You. Amen.